You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard to another edition of Prout Financial Design's new Retirement Radio. Joining us today, Mr. Nathan Prout. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Ron. How are you today?
Good. And your guest, who is this guy that you brought in with you today?
It was some sort of freelance writer.
Dennis.
With us is the only Dennis Prout this morning.
It's great to be here. Ron, Dennis, you threw me a curveball there with that intro.
Right on the line there, baby. Oh, he misses. There goes the ball.
So for regular listeners, I mean, or not, you've been out for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah, a long time. It's been great. Well, good to see you. Good morning. Good welcome, everybody. It is July 18th. Good morning. Good morning. Thursday. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, it is a rebroadcast on Saturday, but equally as titillating as the original. So great to be here. It's an okay word, Nathan. You'll need to look it up.
Is this the the He-Man Women's Haters Club today?
Women Haters?
Hey.
No.
Remember the
Colleen's here. Be careful.
Hey.
Morning, Colleen.
Remember the Little Rascals?
Yeah. The Little Rascals. Oh, yeah.
Now, the He-Man Women Haters Club. No dames allowed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I love those guys. If you do have a question of a financial nature, we are talking finances today. Our phone number and or text line, if you would, Ron, is...
You can call us or text us at 231-947-0023. 231-947-0023. And we will answer or respond.
Wow. Man, so much to talk about in so little time. For any of you, has anyone been watching the Republican convention?
Yes.
Anyone heard of that? Yeah. Did you see Kai?
Oh,
Trump?
Kai was Trump's oldest granddaughter.
Yeah. Speaking last night, that was the coolest.
Yeah.
Wow. Just, it's so fun to have her bring Donald Trump down to the human level, if you will, instead of someone who we really don't know. She made him, I think, more human, if you will, as I've already said.
She said he gives us, I think, ice cream and soda and doesn't tell our parents.
Yes, it's a perfect grandparent ploy to try to buy their favor and love, whatever it takes. Yes, lots of sugar. So we are talking today about a lot of different things. I have been away writing feverishly. About two-thirds of the way done. The editor pulling his hair out, of course, trying to figure out what it is I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
But we're actually making progress.
Do you have an outline?
Sorry?
Do you have an outline?
Yes, okay. I'm well beyond that.
Mm-hmm. No, but you're working with an outline.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I was telling Jill last night, just because you asked, I've got to finish outlining the balance of the book and back up a bit to where I can actually hopefully land this thing with some semblance of sanity. because it's being stretched here and there for sure.
What? So, Dennis, was this has this process been as expected, or have you had some surprises?
The biggest surprise is more painful than I thought. And wait till someone tries to read the thing. I mean, yesterday afternoon, because you asked, at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, I couldn't stay awake. I mean, I really could not.
Just have to let yourself sleep.
Yeah.
Well, you
just
do. Sure.
Yeah, it's a wonderful process. It's testing me for sure. Absolutely.
What is the book about?
It's about finance, retirement, how to approach it, what to think about. How to think about it, everything from estate planning for retirement accounts to think about in terms of income. You know, all, as practical as I can make it without being too technical, because we could really jump into the weeds too fast on this kind of thing. But how should you think about retirement? What should you plan on in terms of reviewing things with a financial advisor? What kind of information should you provide to them? What kind of questions should you ask them? All these things we talk about on an ongoing basis here. Frankly, that's been part of what's driving this, because we put together notes for every show that we do.
For every show, yeah. You know, that we do.
Yes.
So we're trying to communicate with folks who are interested in working with a financial advisor. How can this make sense for you? How could it help you? Why should you think about this? And frankly, I was thinking this morning, just to go down this track a bit more, how to think about it from a psychological standpoint in terms of transitioning from work to the couch. How do I think about, well, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I'd like to be involved in? What volunteer organizations, perhaps, or other interests have I let continue to keep them to the side almost because I'm so busy with life, career, management, keeping the grandkids happy. Whatever it is, how do I make that transition? So that portion is probably going to require more research on my part, I'm thinking, just because it's not something financial advisors usually get into. Usually it's about the numbers, okay. You got this income, that income, you have these assets over here, you've got this debt or no debt. Here's what your regular expenses are. Nathan's nodding because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But we don't get into nearly as much how to think about it, possibly. How can I make this transition emotionally and all the rest with our family? What is it that we'd really like to do? What's important to us in this life hereafter? Because many of us are going to have some extended time there. We might live until we're 85, 90, 95 even.
They had a 98-year-old World War II vet speak at the convention last night.
Did they really?
Great shape, 98 years
old.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah, 11 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, I think our boss is working on a book. I didn't know. Yes. He was busy in his office, and I said, what are you working on? He said, Chapter 11. So I thought, must be.
Are you talking Chris or what?
No,
oh, sorry, Chapter 11.
Nathan.
That was good, Ron. I mean, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Catch up to death.
Just slide right in there.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
So normally, previously, 2 years ago, I was telling Nathan I wouldn't have been able to do this. But because we have a team now, we really do. Nathan's been with us almost 10 years. He's a financial advisor and director of client accounts. He's going to be talking about 12 QCD, qualified charitable distribution rules, but he's part of the reason I'm able to do this and take some time away and make this happen. What really fostered it was my previous designations. I took a week away so that I could actually study in, you know, CFP and CPWA and all the rest. So that was helpful there. So today we're talking about the economy, what to think about, the outlook, still waiting for the turn. There are some warning signs. Are there always warning signs? Yes. And whenever the Fed is cut in the past, not all the time, but sometimes, it certainly resulted in the stock market making a significant decline. Now, the most recent times in both 2020 and 22, it indicated the end of a decline. October of 22, since then, the S&P 500 has been up a little over 50% since October of 22. So these numbers are just incredible. In April of 20, the market had gone down, as we've discussed previously, about 35% or so from its high in February of that year. And at that point, the market went on a tear all the way that was significant. In that month following April of 2020, the stock market had its biggest month ever in 30 or 35 years. I forget which it is.
You know, you often go back to the big plunge in when COVID in early 2020.
Yes.
And the S&P was about 2,300. And you look see the chart now, 2,300.
Yeah.
Now you're up to 56.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yep.
Huge.
Huge. It's well more than a 100% gain from that level. So 4 short years later. So demand is key to forecast. Let's jump right in here. Information research from LPL Financial, LPL Research. The economy will likely downshift in the latter half of 2024. We're already seeing some indicators possibly of that. As consumer spending slows from the breakneck speed of 2023. The bottom line, the surprisingly strong economy fueled by high income consumer spending and uneven interest rate sensitivity is finally showing signs of stalling out. Expect slower spending, a softening labor market, and the beginnings of a measured economic slowdown in the latter half of 2024. While inflation may take some time to fully ease, the Fed will likely have room to cut rates before the end of the year as the weakening economic picture becomes more apparent. And there are some indicators of it weakening, and the Fed has already kind of hinted, Powell, that they are going to cut rates.
By the end of the year.
By the end of the year. Everybody knows. So Trump has said, well, don't cut rates until I'm elected. Mm. You know, I'm not quite sure what that's all about, why he's saying that. We can only guess. Economic growth surprised in the first half. Much of the strong first half for stocks can be explained by the economy's resilience. Mm-hmm. So the economy, AI, the promise of that has driven the growth stocks. Now what's following is the Dow. The more value-orientated stocks are starting to catch up. They're responding. Often the market travels in waves. It points up the importance of diversification. Don't look for all growth in your portfolio. All of a sudden, you jump onto growth and the wagon changes to where they actually correct downward. Google, in its price, has been down about 10 points from its high of a couple weeks ago. I think they were about 192. Now they're about 181 or so in price, just because you wanted to know. So it's interesting. The stats are all around us. Commodities have really been up significantly this year. However, it's still a part of a diversified strategy.
Yeah.
Don't bank your success on any given sector at any one given point in time. AI still is a hugely promising future. Yeah, there's Google at 182 or so.
Mm.
And maybe about a week ago or so. But if you go back a bit, Ron.
Let's see. Oh, you're 5 days. There's your 5-day scan. You're here.
Yeah, just move back there to your left. There you go. Up
well,
to
right
the
there,
top.
The peak you were at
190. Yeah.
190. You're down to 181. So
yeah. Yep. About 9 points. So it's interesting to watch these things because there will be some corrections along the way, and we could see based on some of the history. Significant correction downward. I don't know that we'll see that. I really don't. But investing over time, owning great companies, having a diversified portfolio, having some of your assets, and many have said bonds are probably going to be an opportunity. If rates do start to come down, bonds, the ho-hum of the markets for the last 2 to 3 year time frame, not been a fun place to be could very well make sense. Well, what? How do you own bonds? Well, it could be bonds through your mutual fund. It could be owning a balanced type mutual fund that owns bonds in your portfolio within your 401k.
Darling, I always wanted to own that balanced fund.
You know, that sort of thing. It just isn't something that's going to set your world on fire. But the other thing is, it won't set your world on fire. Thank you very much. Point well taken.
Points taken.
Yes. Happy wife, happy life. You know, that sort of thing. He's such a philosopher. At least he thinks it's funny. So the second half gains have been pulled forward. The current Fed pause at 331 days is the second longest in modern market history.
What was
the fact that they've not moved, trailing only 2006-2007, 446 days, while the average of the six pauses since 1989 has spanned 248 days. So we're getting long.
What's
in
the
terms
pause?
Of not making a change in the interest rate.
Oh, okay.
The Fed pause, P-A-U-S-E.
not P-A-W-S.
Yes, I knew people weren't thinking of that, but I just, you know, had to make that point.
And so Nathan's got some interesting stats on the economy, but before he gets into that, let's talk about the 12 QCD rules you should know. Now, QCDs are available for anyone over age 70 and a half. So there are some age limitations here. There are also some account limitations, but the key components of these can be significant for those who are charitably minded and like to save taxes.
That's right, yeah. So as Dennis said, QCDs are only available to IRA owners or beneficiaries who are age 70 and a half or older. Number two, the maximum QCD amount is capped at $105,000 per person per year.
Now, hang on a minute.
Wait.
Why would anyone want to put that much into charity? Why?
Because it's the most tax-efficient way of giving, if you are charitably minded.
Mm-hmm. And what if that charity happens to have a project that you really want to help fund? It's a building project or it's something significant. And if you have a larger IRA account and your RMD, your required minimum distribution is about that much. Oh, and you really don't want that income either?
Yeah.
So you see the potential. And that number has been adjusted for inflation from last year when it was $100,000. Now it's $105,000. We'll see what happens next year.
So you're saying if you were in that position and you had to take out $100,000, say,
sure,
required minimum distribution, you'd be taxed on that if you kept it, and you say, I don't even need this right now, but you could donate it to that nonprofit building project, and you would be not taxed
right
on it.
A nice problem to have, that you don't need it.
Yeah.
There are some clients we have that with an RMD that's over $100,000. So that can come into play for some folks. And even if your RMD isn't that much and you still want to fund that out of a very taxable IRA, that doesn't have to be your required minimum. It can be the amount that you choose to give directly from your IRA, and it wouldn't be taxable to you if you've given to a 501c3 charitable organization, just because you wanted to know.
That's correct, yeah. Additionally, under the new Secure 2.0 Act, a one-time QCD of $53,000 for 2024 can go to a split interest entity, such as a charitable remainder annuity trust, a charitable remainder unit trust, or a charitable gift annuity.
In most cases, sorry, were you done with that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say it's a unique situation, but when you do set something like that up, you might be able to receive income from a portion of that gift for the rest of your life, and then leave the rest of the remaining lump sum to the charity.
So it's a great way to collect an income if you like that idea, and transfer a portion of your IRA to that charitable gift annuity. Now, at your death,
the money goes to the charity. But for your lifetime, they'll pay usually in the range of 6 to 7%, as I say here in this article for Ed Slott done about a year ago. Okay? Why leaving an IRA to charity can make sense was the name of that.
That's right. Additionally, donor-advised funds do not qualify for qualified charitable distributions.
So donor-advised fund is an account that you set up where you can fully deduct the amount that you've given if you're going over the amount of your standard deduction, but then you can schedule out over time the amounts that you want to give from that fund to the charities of your choice. So you can fully deduct it in the year that you put it in, that you put the funds in the account, if you're over the standard deduction, and you schedule the amounts you want to give to charity over time.
Yeah, and a good qualifier for that, too, is typically if it's a QCD, you cannot retain control of that after you make that gift. If it's something that you're retaining control of, like a donor-advised fund, obviously that would not qualify as a QCD.
Okay.
Additionally, a QCD, as we discussed earlier, can satisfy your required minimum distribution. So, something to keep in mind, again, if you don't need that income.
If your RMD, your required minimum distribution, is $2,000, you can give 100% of that to your charity of your choice through the QCD, and then it's not taxable.
That's right. Even if you have a church that you regularly tithe to, it would be a more tax-efficient way of doing it by doing a QCD than just tithing out of your Social Security check or what you normally do.
Yeah. So think about where that money is coming from. Why is it more tax efficient?
Because you never see that income. It goes directly to the charity and it comes off directly your income. So.
Yes. Normally, you wouldn't be able to deduct that because the standard deduction is so stinking high. Mm-hmm. Stinking high, Ron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Additionally, no double dipping is allowed, so you cannot do a QCD and also take a deduction for the charitable contribution. If you are married, you and your spouse can each contribute up to $105,000 from your own IRAs. The contribution to the charity would have had to be entirely deductible if it were not made from an IRA. You cannot receive a benefit back. So what that's saying is if you're over the standard deduction and you were just making a gift to the charity from a non-IRA account, you would have to be able to fully deduct that to match what the benefits of a QCD can do for you normally.
Now that is exciting stuff, isn't
Sorry,
it?
That's a mouthful.
QCD.
It is.
Well, years
but
ago,
you explained it well. Sorry,
you did
Ron.
Have a listener years ago, a Traverse City person in Florida, that heard about QCD, was not mm-hmm. aware of them, and was thankful and was able to donate to whatever charitable cause they wanted to. So not everybody is aware of QCD, and as you say, if you don't need your minimum required distribution, that's a good alternative.
It's a great consideration for anyone who wants to give to a charity, whether it's Father Fred or your church. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's a 501c3, again, organization, a qualified charitable group, you give it direct from your IRA to that charity, and you do need proof of this. Now, the one problem with this is that you're not going to get a 1099 from your IRA that says that you did a QCD. So you have to make certain that you tell your tax consultant or tax advisor or bookkeeper that you've actually done a QCD. We actually send a letter out to all of our clients with a red flag at the top, if you will, that tells them that they've done a QCD and what the amount was or amounts were for the various organizations so that they can in turn give it to their tax advisor. So that's key in this. Make certain that you keep track of the QCD and give those amounts to your tax consultant.
So the minimum distribution requirement doesn't kick in until 70 and a half.
No.
That's even more confusing. Yeah. So depending on your age, it's either 72, 73, or 75 now.
I mean, so
but
you
the
could,
QCD kicks in at 70 and a half.
It's available earlier, even earlier than your regular RMD, if you want to give out of your IRA, because you know that that's the most tax-infested money you have. It's the most tax-infested money.
All right. All right. Number nine, the distribution from the IRA to a charity can satisfy an outstanding pledge to the charity without causing a prohibited transaction. 10, the charitable substantiation requirements apply. So the charity will send you a written statement / receipt as a record of the gift, essentially.
Hopefully they will. You can't guarantee that. You know, what if they miss the mail? Or Johnny wasn't in the office that day to send those reports out.
Right.
So don't count on that.
Don't also count on it happening in January of the following year. It usually takes till February or March, even for those eager to file their taxes as quickly as possible.
Oh, you're talking about the tax forms now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether that's the 1099 or, yeah.
Yeah, and don't try to do this in December. Try to do the QCD in September, October at the latest, because many of these financial companies tend to be more and more overwhelmed as the year goes on, given our personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you want to, you can even set up monthly QCDs from a lot of your accounts if that's of interest to you. Let's see here. QCDs can be done only with the taxable amounts in your IRAs. So QCDs can only be done with your traditional IRAs, not your Roth IRAs, of course.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that with a Roth because that's fully tax-free.
That's right.
In most cases.
And last but not least, QCDs cannot be done from SEP or simple IRAs that are actively receiving contributions.
Now, they can be done from a beneficiary IRA. You got a beneficiary IRA from grandmother. She gave you an IRA worth $25,000 as an example. And you say, you know what? I've got to take this account out over the next 10 years. I really don't need this income right now. I'm in the middle of my career. And it's not like I'm upset with having to take it, but I got to empty this over the next 10 years. If you're charitably minded, do that to the with a QCD. Now, again, you have to be 70 and a half. Because you can inherit a beneficiary IRA when you're 45 or 30 or whatever age, but you have to be 70 and a half to do the QCD out of a beneficiary IRA as well. Okay.
Well, so if you're 45 and you inherit an account, you're a beneficiary, then how can you do the QCD if you're
not
70? Oh, you can't.
Yeah. Okay. You can't do it in that circumstance, in case I lost people in the weeds. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the weeds, there was something else. Oh, here we go. I wanted to, because we've been talking so much about charitable thinking and or giving, one other possible option on the charitable side for those who have IRAs and are charitably minded, you may want to consider naming a charity as a primary or contingent beneficiary. Hmm. We've talked about this somewhat, but if there's a charity that you've always enjoyed, appreciated, love the work they're doing, one possible way to give to them is after, you know, most of us are going to name our spouses as our primary beneficiary. If you should decide to name a charity as a contingent, maybe even a 10% contingent beneficiary, because keep in mind, the beneficiaries can all be named as percentages. It doesn't have to be 100% contingent. Maybe you've got a smaller IRA you want to do that with, but let's say it's a larger IRA. And I'll just go down this road. Let's say you wanted of that IRA 20% to go to your favorite charity. If your wife was able to do what's called a qualified disclaimer, she said, you know, in this particular IRA, I'm okay with 20% of it going to the charity because I knew that John Boy, we'll call him, wanted 20% to go to that charity, and I'd like to honor that charity in his name by giving that amount directly from the IRA. She could file, if
the language allows and the IRA administrator allows, which in most cases would be the case, she can file what's called a qualified disclaimer. On his death, that money goes to that charity tax-free. It's never taxed. She doesn't have any other reporting to do. Now, she needs to file this with the help of a good attorney who knows how to do this. The administrator will require attorney's language. And why do I know this, or why am I talking about this a bit more this morning? Because I've been writing about it.
Yeah.
So there could be some worse things that have happened as a result of my research here. And, oh, yeah, my memory coming back. Yeah, that is a possibility. So that is a distinct use of these funds, even though a long shot, because you're never going to die. I understand that. And your wife may not feel comfortable at that point disclaiming that portion of the IRA because she's not comfortable yet. She's got up to 6 months to do that, given that she does some thinking about it, and in this case does decide to do that. That amount goes to the charity, and bam, just like that. The most efficient giving you can give to any charity is through a fully taxable IRA during your life or at your death, because then 100% of it is non-taxable, and you really leverage those amounts, because then that money has never been taxed. The money that you put into it was deductible in most cases. The money grew, hopefully.
You might have had a match,
tax-deferred
right?
basis. There may have been a match from your 401k,
yeah.
Even though you've now transferred it to the IRA. That match was non-taxable. Then you see what I'm saying? All that money, or whatever portion thereof that you gave indirectly or directly to that charity, goes tax-free. Hugely powerful.
So if you're 68 and you want to make a donation to a charity, you can't designate the money from your IRA to go directly to that charity and have it be tax-free.
Through a QCD.
But you can only do that through
your beneficiary. That's what I'm talking about. The beneficiary. If you've named the charity as a contingent beneficiary in this case.
But this is why you're still alive, I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. While you're still alive, no.
You can't.
If you're still alive, thank you, Ron.
It has to be the QCD, right?
It has to be the QCD, right. So while alive, if you're under 70 and a half, there's not a way to get that done. But when over 70 and a half, give the income if you want, or whatever part of the amount, up to $105,000 through the QCD, or at your death.
I would imagine a lot of nonprofits of a certain size have experts on staff or contracted out that are able to work with their donors and point all of this out.
Do you think? Yeah, but none of them have a radio show in Traverse City at 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning. So, yeah. I mean, what are we going to do?
I mean, have you turned many of your clients on to this, you know, just in learning what their values are, what their situation, saying, hey, how about a QCD?
Yeah. We're trying to talk to all of our clients who are nearing that age about the possibilities of a QCD. Now, some shake their heads and say, no, we're not at all charitably minded. Some say, well, you know, we give $500 or $1,000. It doesn't matter what amount it is. It just matters that you're thinking of that in terms of your overall financial picture. Good stuff. So next, let's talk a bit more about where we are with inflation. An 85-year-old economist named Charles Goodhart had something to say about this. Charles Goodhart, who is 4 years older than I am, according to our own economist, is a British economist. He worked at the Bank of England, from 1968 through 1985, and worked at the London School of Economics from 66 through 68 and 86 through 2002. His work focuses on central bank practices and monetary frameworks. He predicted that inflation in advanced economies will settle at 3-4% around the world, around the end of 22, and remain at that level for decades. Now, I underlined this and highlighted it because we're not going to see, according to Mr. Goodhart, any return to 1-2% inflation. We're going to be stuck at 3-4% for years and years. Given that reality, we have to invest differently. We're going to have to invest for more income-orientated assets, assets that might be considered undervalued, and also, to a certain extent, assets that perform along with inflation. What does that tend to mean? Ownership assets, real estate, possibly stocks, sometimes bonds if we think interest rates are going to be staying the same or headed lower. It depends on the asset and it depends on the interest rate at that time.
Yes, and this too. We've been having so many discussions with clients even recently about, and it may be helpful for you, it's not for everybody, but to look at your portfolio in year segments, you know, whether you want to call it buckets or whatever, but setting aside perhaps what you need for the next 5 years in your estimated income, and then the next 5 to 10 years going a little more moderate with those investments, and then the next 10 plus years going for those aggressive investments that you would expect the volatility from, but you wouldn't be depending for the income from as well.
And that's a key component of retirement. In essence, you've siloed or bucketed those portions so that you can draw from more conservative assets and you don't have to be beholden to the stock market for your income. And that is much easier to do these days, given that interest rates are at 5%. 5% is not a stretch for current money right now for accounts that get you a current interest rate without market risk. 5% treasury bills are an everyday happenstance today, which is unheard of 2 years ago. Those rates were at 0.5% 2 years ago. Today, 10 times the amount at 5.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is. Just thinking a bit about history.
I was looking at a year-by-year inflation rate.
Yeah.
2008, it was 0.1%.
Isn't that crazy? I recall teaching these classes and getting a overall yawn from the audience talking about inflation because it was a non sequitur, a non-issue for anybody thinking about inflation. It was like ho-hum time. But now, not so much. At a 3 to 4% inflation rate, your income, did you bring your calculator?
Of course.
Beautiful. You actually have an HP. Imagine that. So let's just talk about this. Do we have time here, Ron?
Yes.
Okay. In terms of inflation, assume we have a $5,000 per month income that we're looking for. And also assume that we have a 4% inflation rate. Excuse me. In 20 years.
Well, I have to enter it properly.
In 20 years, which is kind of long, maybe, 4%, the equivalent amount will be less than half at $2,281.
Well, your salary would be worth half.
Well, your retirement income, retirement and on a fixed income.
All right. Oh, I see what you're
saying. In 20 years, that equivalent income at a 4% inflation rate would be $2,282 a month, less than half. In 10 years, that amount is $3,378. Now, most people would say that's more than a 30% decline in 10 years.
But wouldn't your retirement rate also be going up? Wouldn't your cost of living through Social Security or stock investment?
You'll get some increases from Social Security.
Yeah. But you have to keep up. You have to make at least...
Right. Yeah. You have to make at least that much more because the equivalent value is that worth that much less. $5,000 goes to $3,400 approximately in 10 years at 4%. Mm. So the reality of inflation can be significant in terms of a fixed income. That's what we're getting at. So that's why it's important, as Nathan mentioned, to have some monies that grow on an inflation plus basis. That's the key to retirement success.
That's correct, yeah. So to close out here, let's get into some stats as well.
Yes, the stats.
All right. So, making moves. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished June of 2024 1.2% higher at 39,118.86, up from 38,686.32 on May 31st.
And today it's 41,200 as of this morning.
Yeah, and that's according to Y Charts. The amount of cryptocurrency stolen through hacks and network attacks doubled from January of 2024 to June of 2024 to $1.38 billion, according to Bloomberg.
Now, that was one of the big attractions to cryptocurrencies, was that it couldn't be, you know,
stolen.
Right. Yeah, apparently they found a way around that.
Yeah. So deflation, the headline U.S. Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, fell month over month in June 0.1% for the first time in more than 4 years, which was May of 2020. In reaction, market pricing for at least one Fed rate cut by September ticked up to 87%. And that is according to BLS and CME. AI,
looks like we might have a rate cut then.
Yeah, we might. That's not us saying that. But yeah. AI is taking jobs. Over the last 12 months, the Richmond Fed found that 37.3% of companies have used AI to automate tasks previously done by employees, and more than half, 53.6%, expect to automate certain jobs in the next 12 months. Large companies are expected to have the biggest shift, where 76.3% plan to automate certain jobs.
Isn't that incredible?
According to Richmond.
So those repeat-type tasks or repetitive tasks, jobs that can be taken by robots, it's going to be huge. Oh, text, you have a question?
Yeah, text question. I think this means, do you have to be 70 and a half the whole year, meaning to qualify for a QCD? What if you turn 70 and a half on December 31st?
It's, you have to be over the age of 70 and a half. So when you're over 70 and a half. So let's say that were August of this year, August 2nd. It's a good
hypothetically.
Date. Yeah. You're 70 and a half. Any date after that during this year, you can give through QCD to the charity of your choice. Yes.
Technically, December 31st you could, but your financial preparer might not appreciate that.
Well, they wouldn't be able to get it done, most likely.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. You have 1 to 2 days of processing time and normal turnaround time, so that would not happen.
All right. We have about a minute left.
Do we have another stat?
Yeah, I got one more stat for you. In the first half of 2024, 346 U.S. companies filed for bankruptcy, which was the highest first-half total since 2010. 75 companies filed for bankruptcy in June, which was the highest monthly total since at least 2020. The consumer discretionary sector had the largest number of filings at 55, and that's according to S&P Global.
Another possible indicator that we may be heading into a recessionary type economy. We'll see at the beginning of August, given the recent, the newest numbers we're expecting then. Okay.
All right, that'll wrap up another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City on the web, proutfinancialdesign.com. Thank you, Mr. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout.
All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Contributions to a traditional IRA may be tax deductible in the contribution year, with current income tax due at withdrawal. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half may result in a 10% IRS penalty tax in addition to current income tax. A Roth IRA offers tax deferral on any earnings in the account. Qualified withdrawals of earnings from the account are tax-free. Withdrawals of earnings prior to age 59 and a half or prior to the account being open for 5 years, whichever is later, may result in a 10% IRS penalty tax. Limitations and restrictions may apply. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax or legal advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific situation with a qualified tax or legal advisor.